This is Christmas Day, December 25th, year 2005. I want to start out with the prayer that we already repeated at the beginning of the Holy Rosary. This is our special prayer and petition to our Lord for this Christmas and for the upcoming year. Holy Infant Jesus and Mary and Joseph, we invite thee into our homes. Come and live with us. Sanctify and protect our homes and hear our prayers. Like the Holy Family, may our homes be. We ask thee, O Infant Jesus, to please lift the Amos curse from those of goodwill, so that your most holy name may be known upon the face of the earth, so that men may know that there is a God who judges upon the earth, and that this God is the God of the Holy Roman Catholic Church. Mentioning that, we were talking about the other day how God, Mary, has purified us. And Mary, with her purifying fire, prepared us to enthrone our arms to Jesus, because you only come to Jesus through Mary. She proved that to us during this great purge. And she purified the camp. And I get the great feeling that God is now going to start working with us and purifying us here. He's very pleased with us. We're not perfect, so I'm not trying to flatter anybody here. We always got to continue to get better. But he has purified us. And as long as we continue to stay faithful, he's going to do wonderful things with us. And we're going to help to save our soul and other souls. Now, this relates to the reading I have today. And I think Mary is particularly purged the camp so we can be ready for this Christmas, so we can be pure ourselves, at least on the very good right road, even though we still have work to do to the day we die. This relates to the reading I had today, my Christmas Day readings. I read my scriptures every day, and I know that God is really sanctifying our homes, and it relates to Solomon when he built the temple, and he finally built the holy house of God, and then God was finally pleased with his people at that time. And he showed that he was pleased by them by sending fire down from heaven, and a cloud came into the temple and covered the whole temple, showing that God was pleased with them at that time. And this is what it relates to us at this moment. But there's also a warning at the end of this ending of this passage. So I'm going to read it. It's from 2 Paralli Pomenon, chapter 7. And this actually applies to us at this moment, and we just don't want to make the mistake Solomon did, of course. And it starts out here in verse 16, but the whole chapter is worth reading. But it says, "For I have chosen and I have sanctified this place, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart may remain there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and keep my justices and my judgments, I will raise up thy throne and thy kingdom as I promised to David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man of the stock of the ruler of Israel." So there we know that if Solomon remained faithful and all the future kings, there would have never been the taking away of the scepter of Judah. There would have been a king sitting on as a king of Judah for all times, for all eternity. We know Jesus is that king later on, but there would have been no interruption of the line. But we also know, and we're going to learn that when we get into later, that it was prophesied when Jacob blessed Judah that there is going to be an interruption of the line. The scepter would be taken away. But he's telling Solomon, well, if you do obey me in the future kings, there'll always be a king on the throne of David. He says, but if you turn away, here he goes, "and forsake my justices and my commandments, which I have set before you, and you shall go and serve strange gods and adore them, I will pluck you up by the root out of my land, which I have given you, and this house, which I have sanctified to my name, and I will cast from before my face, and will make it a byword and example among all the nations." If we disobey God, as holy as this house is at this moment now, and it is, it could become very unholy and very bad if we turn away from God. So the faith is more than just a house, but God does confirm a place when the people in it are holy. Now, you know what happened to Solomon's temple, right? What happened to it after he built it? Remember Jeremiah's? What happened? Got destroyed. So if the people aren't holy that are maintaining the temple, then God leaves. Because the building, this is just, God doesn't need the building. He's only coming here because of the faith of the people that are living in the building. This is, all our homes is our own temples. Of course, our bodies too, but our homes. And so your little properties that God has given you, you have to guard your property with all your might to keep it holy, every aspect of it, and then you see what God says he'll do for you, right? And now, if you don't, you see what God says he's going to do for you. This is how we know Rome's going to fall too, because this is God's ways when you disobey him. First it gets corrupted from within, and then God caves it down as a final thing. Even in Jeremiah, he gave him quite a few chances, even when they were bad, to turn around. And he says, "And then your house will be a proverb, and all that pass by shall be astonished and say, why hath the Lord done this to the land, and why has he done this to the house? and they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they took hold of strange gods, and adored them, and worshipped them. Therefore, all these evils are come upon them. So God, right now, though, is telling us He is sanctifying our homes. Mary's with us. She's protecting us. I went on to read, right after that, that was my reading, right on that part. Then I went to my psalm reading, and this was my psalm reading, the very first thing. It was Psalm 148, was it 149? Where was it now? Yeah, 49, yeah. Yeah, here it is. It was Psalm 149. It was the first verse, though, he says. Singing to the Lord a new canticle, let his praise be in the church of the saints. And that was my first thing. This is what we are. We were called to be saints. St. Paul used to refer to themselves as saints even though they didn't get in heaven yet. That doesn't mean they were guaranteed. But we want to be saints. And our Lord's telling me this is his church. This is the church of the saints. That's what he's telling me this morning. It is. I am mostly pleased with you right now. But that doesn't mean you don't have to continue to get better. But it also means you better watch out and not get worse. But now that I've purified the camp, God's really saying, and there's another verse, and he says, look, they're going to keep going. Watch, and I'll read it more. He says, let Israel rejoice in him that made him, and let the children of Sion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in choir. Let them sing with him in the timbrel and the psaltery. The psaltery. What is the psaltery? The divine office. That's the psaltery. And then hymns. We sing hymns. For the Lord is well pleased with his people, and he will exalt the meek unto salvation. The saints shall rejoice in glory, and they shall be joyful in their beds. He is saying he's pleased with us right now, for the most part. Just stay meek and stay humble, and you'll always be on the right road, and you'll always go on the road to perfection. That's what he's telling me this morning, these two passages, but I felt that coming on for a long time, even especially in this powerful way with this purge that we went through. It was a great purifying fire. Mm-hmm. And she came in here and says, I want the camp pure for Christmas. So when baby Jesus comes, you can find a pleasing dwelling. And that's why I composed that prayer there also.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.